Well, today we're going to jump in with Mary. Next 4 weeks, as I've said to the kids, we're going to be thinking about a readiness, a preparedness for Jesus arriving, Jesus coming. And you already know he came a long time ago, right? I checked with the kids and I think they were all pretty sure. Yeah, but it's a good thing for us. You know, one of the neat things about the Christian, the church year, we're not obligated to follow everything that the church has put in a certain place during the year. But it's a neat way to be reminded of the core, down-to-earth realities that we're about. Jesus came. He arrove. Right? He advented. You know, we talk about how things used to be different until the advent of the computer, until the advent of the automobile. We talked about that, you know, or until the advent of collective bargaining. But everything really was different until the advent of Jesus. So we're thinking these 4 weeks about a preparedness for us. And we're going to be four different places, and today, or with four different people. Today, that person is Mary. I want you to think about that. Mary, and we're going to join her when she's really taken off guard and hit by an earth-shattering announcement, stunned by what the Lord has to say to her. This is a picture from the 1977 movie, Jesus of Nazareth. And I think it's a neat reminder of what it might be for this young girl in a no-name town, Nazareth, less than 2,000 people, who has the Lord talk to her. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Nazareth, you know that. Now Gabriel is showing up in that, can anything good come from here town? Right? Earlier in this chapter, he'd showed up in Jerusalem, which is maybe more appropriate for an angel, Gabriel. I don't know. When Gabriel shows up, usually people are scared, by the way. And I always need to be reminded that a lot of people have really silly ideas about angels that come from cutesy pictures in women's restrooms or something. A little cherubs with little short stubby wings flying around, or silly things like that, that have nothing at all to do with this idea of angel, you know. This messenger of God, you know. When the angels show up, people usually fall on their faces or something like that. When the angel showed up earlier in this chapter to Zechariah was scared in a spiritual way. No, just scared. You know, he was scared. Well, Mary didn't have quite that same response. But it's interesting. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And I'm sure you've probably heard about betrothal and how betrothal was a very binding thing for these folks. When it says, and pledged to be married or engaged, it wasn't like our engagement. It was a yearish period when this young girl was absolutely bound to be married to this guy. And the only way that could not happen was if they got a divorce. And if the husband died during the husband-to-be died during the period of betrothal, then that woman was called a widow. And it could be a virgin widow, which is interesting in our thinking. But if Mary was like other folks of her time, then she was probably 12 or 13 or 14 years old. That's what everybody says. And so she's a junior high girl. Are you used to thinking of that in this picture, when you picture this story? And when you think of the heroes of the faith, there's a lot of people that were pretty young. David. Daniel. And lots and lots of others, right? And here's Mary, one of the real heroes of the faith. I think. And, you know, we as Protestants sometimes keep Mary at arm's length and are afraid of being Romish or something. But look what a model of how the Lord works is shown in her life with her willingness. Not because of her super-duper extra qualifications. I don't think she had much more in that category than you or I have. But, you know, somebody said the greatest ability in the world is availability, right? And watch her heart as we go through this. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You with a boatload of grace. And in fact, that passage we just read has been what has led to a misunderstanding sometimes that Mary full of grace meant Mary could distribute grace, that she had grace to give like the Lord does. But it just means Mary was just so graced by the Lord. Just to have this angel talking to her. Here's, you know, we always have the disadvantage in these Bible stories because we're all set and ready at the beginning of the story for what's going to happen. But Mary was just there. Just like you were yesterday morning when you woke up. How many of you had an angel talk to you yesterday morning? She didn't know she was a Bible character yet. You know? So here she is in this, and the language of the angel to her is sort of formal. "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That'd be like what a grand royal personage would say. But here's an unmarried, young, junior high girl in Nazareth, in Galilee of the Gentiles, who's pretty much nobody. As far as status goes, she had pretty much no social status in her setting. Okay? The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus." There never has been a bigger announcement than that. Mary of Nazareth. The big deal in this first part is God's saying, "Yes, Mary, I'm speaking to you. You, Mary, you found favor with God. You are an object of incredible grace. Man, there is grace all over you." And the stress in this passage is on on God's choice of Mary. Not some special qualification she had. But I think we'll see some qualifications as we go through here, ironically. You know, what God wants to do is all of His power. But He doesn't get to do it all the time unless we have the right qualifications, which is, we'll let Him. You know, the eyes of the Lord continually move throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That was a lesson that Asa learned. Do you remember that? If people would seek Him, if people would be after Him. I think Mary was probably a hungry person. I was thinking of saying that this morning to the kids up here, and I thought maybe it'd get too complicated. We think about Advent. What's Advent about? You know, there's a promise in Scripture, if we hunger and thirst for God, it crops up different places in different forms. But there's a promise in Scripture, if we hunger and thirst for God, we'll have what we're hungry and thirsty for. If He's our desire, if He's our delight, if we hunger and thirst for Him, we'll be filled. How do you eat God? That's what I wanted to ask the kids. Does that mean you can eat God? No, what does it mean? It means you want to know God. You want to be His. You want to know Him more. You're looking for Him all the time. You have your eyes open and your ears open. That's the kind of people God can come and do in what God only can do. Yes, I'm speaking to you. You found favor with God. Mary was troubled at the saying. You know, why is she greeted in these terms? People have written a lot on that, by the way. Why was Mary so troubled? And even why was she troubled with the announcement of the birth? I mean, she was engaged to be married. Maybe she would just think automatically, okay, when I get married to this guy, I'm going to have a baby. Well, come on, folks. Here's this 12, 13, or 14-year-old girl, you know, that Gabriel appears to. You don't need any more explanation than that. And somehow it was communicated to her right already by this time. This was more than just, hey, I know you're going to get married, so you're probably going to have a baby. That wasn't what was going on here. And I think she picked that up. Zechariah had been in fear of the angel. Mary is just puzzled. And God says to her, I'm going to use you. You'll be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. And that's what the focus is on here, is on that child and that birth, that son. You'll give him the name Jesus. This passage is a lot of parallel to Isaiah 7:14. You're familiar with that one, right? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Immanuel. What does that mean? Daniel just said it to you, so you better be able to answer that. What does Immanuel mean? Yeah, right. With us, God. God with us. And that's going to be what we call him. The focus is on Jesus. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Yahweh saves, the Lord saves. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The Lord himself is through Gabriel is saying to Mary, there's going to be a baby born through you that is going to be the rescuer, the saver, the one who will rescue people from their sins and from the calamity of the fall. This is Jesus, Joshua. By the way, Jesus and Joshua, exactly the same word. We, in English, when we come to Joshua, we write Joshua. When we come to Jesus, we write Jesus. But it's exactly the same word. So when you're reading in Hebrews, you know, it talks about Joshua this, but Jesus this. It's exactly the same word. And you just have to say, you know, well, we had it. You know, that Joshua couldn't give us rest, but this Joshua can. Or that Jesus. And Jesus was a common name when Jesus was born. Just like it is now in some communities. Like, I grew up in, you know, a lot of Hispanic community around me. But a lot Jesus is there. And Jesus was given this name because it means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. He's called that because he is the rescuer. He's the salvation of the Lord. And he's going to be Son of the Most High. What does that mean? Son of the Most High. Go back and read Isaiah again. There's some astounding things said there of this person. And Mary's taking this in to whatever degree she's taking it in. Son of God he is. He's going to be a king on the throne of his father David, which means he's going to be a Messiah. And the Messiah isn't going to be like some people expected, a temporary rule, but it's going to be a throne that lasts forever. That's the promise that now Mary is getting ready for. That's the advent, that's coming. That's the arriving, the coming, the appearing that she is now aimed for. Wow. And what's her response? What are we going to hear from Mary coming back to this? How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And by the way, people argue about whether that word used early in this passage necessarily implies a virgin or just usually has that encumbered in the idea of a young woman. And so people argue back and forth about that. But now Mary's much more explicit. And she says in the original language something like, since I have no knowing of a man. You know, that's pretty clear. What she's after is she's has had no sexual relationship with a man. How can this be? So it's clear to her the angel isn't just saying, hey, you're engaged, a little down the road, you have a baby. No, the angel is announcing to her a miracle of the Lord. And Mary's response is to say, I don't have what it takes. You know, maybe, I don't know, do angels ever get the wrong address? You know, she's saying, how can this be? I'm not qualified for this. I don't have what it takes. You know, she'd heard of Hannah, right? She'd heard of Sarah. But at least they had husbands, you know. They were old, but at least they had husbands. This wasn't something that had ever been heard of before. This is a problem, among other things, for a junior high girl. Think about it. Mary's puzzled. Bear a child without the intervention of a man. She has said, I don't have what it takes. God's answer is basically, I do. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary took the fleece from a sheep and laid it on the ground and said, look, Lord, if this was really you, do you think in the morning... Maybe she laughed out loud, like, all right, that's about to happen, like Sarah did. No. Maybe she backed away from this like Zechariah did. No, this is remarkable. When I say she's one of the heroes of the faith, it's not because she's so great, but she trusted God. She really did. I mean, look at this. The angel just said, nothing is impossible with God. Mary didn't ask for a sign. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Slave girl, we could say. I'm the Lord's slave girl, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Wow. She just came out ahead of Gideon, David, Saul, Joseph. I mean, she took this one, well, I'm not sure I can say it for sure about Joseph, but probably. She took the one prayer that's the most popular prayer of all. Lord, your will be changed. And made it the prayer that is supposed to be the one that we're all supposed to pray. Your will be done. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary was saying, I'm yours completely. Now I want you to think about this a little bit. Mary was betrothed. She was bound to be married to a man. What do you think that's going to happen when that man finds out that she's pregnant? Is that man going to stick with her? What would she expect? Probably not. And we know that he did think about divorcing her until God intervened, right? So she had every right to expect upon this announcement that this was the end of her engagement and guess what? How many other men are going to want her to become engaged to her when she's become pregnant, out of wedlock, and has been divorced by her first betrothed? What's her status in society? What's her status in this society? Hey, let me ask you another question. The death penalty for adultery is still in place. Now, apparently it's not used very much, but apparently it could be. I remember a story about a fellow whose birth, by the way, was under strange circumstances, who came upon a woman about to be stoned. Why? Adultery. Did you ever think when you read that story about Jesus and his mom? Well, now we're with the mom. She doesn't know what's ahead of her. I don't know how much she's even thinking about that. But it's not just like, oh, good. You know, it's like hot dogs. I mean, there's that part of it. And we're going to read down later in this passage, which I'm not going to be preaching on this, you know, my soul glorifies the Lord. She talks about how good God's been to her. But I think she'd be singing that, from all I can tell, if she was stoned. You know, if she did lose her life over this, I think she'd still be singing that. Mary's saying, I'm yours completely. I'm your handmaid. Absolute obedience, absolute surrender. No confirming sign asked for. Giving complete obedience, submission to the Lord as you say, with no guarantee of what that might cost her or not cost her. Your will be done. Quiet submission in a scandalous situation. Well, it's our turn now, looking at Mary, to think about us and Advent. And maybe one of the things we want to think about most in terms of readiness for Jesus, preparation for his coming at Christmas, but really our always readinessness, is to be completely his. To mirror that willingness that's in Mary's heart that says, whatever you say, Lord, your will be done. Let it be to me as you've said. The promise to her, Son of God, Messiah. Wow. Possibly hard things that she would bear in her life. And she did bear some hard things, not maybe the ones I've mentioned here, through her life, to bring that into the world. But I think I'd like for us to focus on just this as we finish off thinking about Mary. I'm yours completely. Doulos, doule, slave. I'm your slave guy, your slave girl. Let it be done to me as you wish. That's scary, unless you have a pretty good idea who the master is. We even talk about that when we talk about submission and obedience, how that's scary, unless somebody's looking out for you. Mary could be confident in the Lord. I'd love to meet Mary's parents. You know, contrary to some things out there, Mary wasn't born without sin. She wasn't born without the stain of the fall in her. She wasn't perfect at all, but she was in a pretty good place for a junior high girl. You know, she deserves one of those places in the heroes of the faith category display case. Wow, I want to be like that. I want to say to the Lord, you call the shots, and my commitment from the start is anything you say. I'm completely yours. No, look at me, I'm volunteering. No, I'm just completely yours. I am completely yours. Your will be done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this remarkable testimony from a pretty much regular one of us who just said yes to you in a heart first, committed, confident in you way. Thank you, Lord, that she had eyes to see reality with the big parts left in. Thanks that to her, thanks, Lord, that to her you were the biggest part of the picture and she could trust you. And Lord, we want to come to this same promise of Jesus, the Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, our rescuer, our Savior, our Messiah, our anointed deliverer. We want to come to all that same promise with the same heart attitude as Mary and say, Lord, I am completely yours. I am yours completely. Just say that to the Lord in your heart.